Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Oh, knocked loose, and Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo, a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead.
I mean, listen to this. This is what we do.
Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining. They're not going to call timeout.
I love it. Don't call it.
4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Jumper Murray. Got it. The horn. And the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Can we just marvel at these two shots for a moment? I mean the shots literally and also the photos taken of them, because what a game. Two game winners. What a night it was. Two teams getting two improbable lead changes. It was just insane. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews. We're presented by American Express. I've been talking for 20 seconds. It already feels like too long. Before we get to the highlight, we're going to start with the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets, because it felt like the Los Angeles Lakers should have all of this buttoned up. And yet, the Denver Nuggets showed why they are the reigning champs. Shanae Gumake, help me break this down, because in the first quarter, LeBron James, he just turned back the clock. We've seen this before.
My goodness, when he's taking charges in the playoffs, when he is getting blocks like this, this is a guy, we know how he closed, but this is how it started with LeBron James setting the tone.
LeBron James set the tone, but Anthony Davis also huge in the first half. LeBron James somehow, someway gets the and one.
Is that the definition right there of a friendly roll? I don't see a roll more friendlier.
Let me see your tootsie roll. LeBron James letting the people know. Let's go ahead here to the third quarter. Anthony Davis, we mentioned it, 32 points, 14 of 18 from the field, 10 rebounds through three quarters in this one.
Yeah, AD, you know that he has been the model of consistency, but right there, D-Lo, that was a heartbreaker. We heard what the players thought about that, but watch this right here, attacks, and that clearly was some contact.
So That's a foul.
So initially, Zach Lowe, it was called a foul on the floor. The Denver Nuggets challenged it, and it was deemed marginal contact, and so it was overturned. Nikola Jokic going to work on Anthony Davis.
That's some marginal contact.
Yeah, this one was not deemed marginal
contact. There's marginal contact everywhere, Melissa.
And one is what they call that. Jamal Murray, he struggled a little bit through three quarters of this one. LeBron James when they needed it the most.
Under most circumstances, this guy playing in year 21, you would have said, oh, wait, that's the emotional play that will seal the deal, but then we got one answer on the other end.
Zach.
What is this? This is insane. What just happened? LeBron dunked and this, what is this?
This
play
like,
is going to be lost to memory by the Jamal Murray jumper, deservedly so, but this is insanity. It tied the game. What happened? I don't understand.
Huge bucket there from Michael Porter Jr. LeBron James attacking the basket.
Okay, bro.
Wanted an and one on that play. Clearly upset as he goes back down on defense. Jamal Murray, though, it wasn't just the shot at the end of the game he hit that was huge. This one elevates over LeBron James. Tie game, 99 apiece, less than 30 seconds to go.
Oh,
you can't be more wide open than this.
You pursue the best shot regardless of time and score. That was the best shot, but guess what? It left enough time on the clock for this iconic moment.
A better shot? You bet. Jamal Murray gets the game winner to go. Anthony Davis gets clobbered, adding insult to injury in the post-shot pile, celebrating Jamal Murray. Somehow, some way, he gets that one to go. Jamal Murray with the game winner. Denver takes a 2-0 lead, 101-99. Let's take a listen to Jamal Murray after the game.
I jumped pretty high. I faded a lot, and I just lost my balance and fell. And I just saw the ball over the rim. I think AD was in my way, or somebody was in my way. And I just heard everybody scream. That's how I know it went in. So it was a pretty cool moment.
Can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded?
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yeah, he did. Take a look at this, how this stacks up. 7 straight field goals made to end the game. We've talked about in clutch time how good the Denver Nuggets are down the stretch closing games. This is that. Proof is in the pudding. Zach Lowe, before we unpack exactly how that 20-point lead evaporated, what did you make of the insanity down the stretch?
Well, my head is still reeling from it. Like, I don't really understand what happened on that Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. But it happened. It happened. And look, this is the best crunch time team in the NBA. The whole game gets frenzied and hot, and everyone gets a little stressed. And the Nuggets are like, chill. We got this. We run our stuff. And Jamal Murray is the epitome of that. If we go to his last 2 shots from last night, I just thought they were great shots and great. And this one is going to be forgotten because this is the tying one. And there's a moment right here where he can enter the Jokic and they both decide, you know what? You take it, man. That's yours. The chemistry on this team is just A++. And these two guys are just incredible big shot makers. I mean, Jokic took it to AD a couple times. Then you get this one. They make the shots that you're supposed to give up. Right. From the mid-range, leaners, floaters. They're just absolutely incredible. And no one has found an answer to their 2-man game down the stretch of games.
You know, it was supposed to be the 3 of us hanging today, right? And then last night, get a late text from Kendrick Perkins. We see what he put on Twitter. He said, I had some things to get off my chest. You weren't even supposed to be on the show, but here you are. So I'm just going to say, you know what, Perk? The floor is yours.
Well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be on the show, but here we are, okay? And I've been searching and I've been looking all day long, watching all the shows and wondering, when was somebody going to address the elephant in the room? Everybody wanted to talk about, was this a foul? Was that a foul? What's wrong with the replay system? The officials was horrible. We get all that. The fact of the matter is that the Lakers had a 20-point lead. A 20-point lead. The fact of the matter is that they held the Denver Nuggets to 44% shooting, 23% from the 3-point range, and held them to 101 points. Now, let's address the problem. The problem is that Anthony Davis was in his bag last night. From the middle of the second quarter, is the reason they took off was because of AD. He was 14 for 19 from the field. He finished with 32 points. Today, we supposed to come on television talking about AD moment in a good way. Not AD moment in a bad way with him getting a game winner hit over the top of him. So I'm looking at Darvin Ham, and I'm looking at LeBron James, and I'm wondering, why did Anthony Davis only take 1 shot in the 4th quarter? Why don't y'all allow this man to be great? He should have finished this game with at least 50 points, at least 25 field goal attempts. LeBron James keep talking about, oh yeah, AD, well, I'm gonna give you the keys to this car. Well, he has, but AD still sitting in the passenger seat. He can't drive the car sitting shotgun. So at the end of the day, they have to really let this man do what he do. AD has been phenomenal in this series offensively. Let that man go to work. If AD finished that game with 25 field goal attempts, the Lakers win that game in great fashion. I strongly believe that.
The only reason that the Lakers were even in the position they were up by so much is because Anthony Davis made 14 straight field goals. That is how hot he was cooking, right? We're calling all the big guns in order to dissect all of this. Brian Windhorst with us as well. Was this a Nuggets comeback, or did the Lakers blow it, Brian?
Both. And Albanix, I'm going to answer Perk exactly what happened. At the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, the Lakers went up by 20 points. And by the way, all those teams that blew 20-point leads this year, the Lakers weren't one of them. They were 20-0 this season when they got up by 20. Oof. Michael Malone called timeout and very simply made a – he didn't really have much he could do because the Lakers were just attacking Nikola Jokic with Anthony Davis in the pick and roll. He made a very simple adjustment that basically changed this game. It was not a foul call in the third quarter. It was not the replay center. It was not a missed call in the last minute. It was this change that happened. He simply put Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis and took Nikola Jokic off of him. And the Lakers did not respond to that. Jokic was on Rui Hachimura. The Lakers lost their vision and their game plan. They basically stopped running clean offense for a long time after that and opened the door for the Nuggets to chip away. You saw it earlier with that graphic. Look at the whole team. It was 68-48 when Michael Malone called that timeout.
Yep.
It was 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Lakers ended with 99 points. It's very simple math. You don't need analysis. In the first 26 minutes of the game, they scored 68 points with Anthony Davis being guarded by Jokic, riding that pick and roll. In the last 22 minutes, they scored 31 points. AD was not involved in it at all. That is just a basic strategy maneuver. The Lakers did not handle it well, and that is the reason why they lost this game. You can look at individual moments. You can look at individual things. You can complain about calls. That strategy move changed everything. That's why the Nuggets are up 2-0 in the series.
Wendy, you said something that is so important, so crucial. You said that the Lakers lost their vision. And what I'm thinking about is the dangers of stargazing. Mm. Because in the fourth quarter, we had two tremendous stars, LeBron James and Nikola Jokic. LeBron James, prior to the fourth quarter, had 12 assists. But he was being the star. We all felt like we were witnessing one of those iconic moments that adds to the resume of him being the greatest of all time. He scored 12 points, but he did have zero assists. Now, Jokic, he generated 15 points scoring or assisting versus LeBron's 12. Now, it's not just on LeBron. His teammates, and there's going to be a graphic that you'll see very soon, only scored 8 points. So they only had 20 over the fourth, even though LeBron was a result of 12 of those. Now look at Jokic. He scored or assisted on 15. The rest of his team had 17. You're looking at a team that has been searching, as Perk mentioned, for AD to be the next consistency. But then maybe it's coaching that needs to demand he gets the ball.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, stepping up. Those are important because if you look at all the games, even the Knicks, you're getting key pieces, whether it's hustle plays from rebounds or scoring from everyone in totality. The Nuggets have that on top of their star. Unfortunately, it looked like the Lakers were watching their star down the stretch, and that's what really hurt them.
Stargazing. You said it. I think the Lakers got a little distracted by the adjustment that Brian talked about. Mm. They said, well, where's Nikola? Nikola's on Rui. I go, Michael Porter, we also want to attack him. He's over there. Let's get Rui in the pick and roll. AD, you go over there. You have Aaron Gordon on you. You go over there. We're going to go away from you. And by the way, it's a tribute to Aaron Gordon, who is a tank defensively and can guard everybody. I think the Nuggets would have been fine with the Lakers throwing the ball to AD against Aaron Gordon. The other guy who needs to get shouted out, this adjustment doesn't work if KCP can't go and guard LeBron James, because that's the other puzzle piece that gets moved around. And he held his own. LeBron bullied him a couple times, got an and one, but he stripped LeBron, stood him up on a couple of possessions. And Jokic, just it doesn't need to be said over and over. He's the best player in the world. And what he did down the stretch to AD was obscene. He's another triple-double, just ho-hum, and Jamal Murray makes a shot. Jokic is the best player in the world, and just there's no answer right now. No one has an answer.
No, and as you can imagine, this does not happen very often that you see these sort of comebacks that are able to come to fruition. But the Lakers have actually, they've been on the other side of this one as well. Let's take a little trip back down memory lane. In 2002, the Lakers, they overcame a 24-point deficit against the Kings. That game, it was capped off by this game winner.
Why are we doing this to Sacramento fans?
Big shot,
they
Bob.
They got eliminated from the playoffs.
Trying to give good to Lakers fans.
Bloody D-Bucks didn't ask for this.
Well, how about this? 2020, Luka Doncic announced his presence to the playoff world. 43-point triple-double. The Mavs overcame a 21-point hole thanks to Luka's dagger in overtime.
Since we're talking triple-doubles, why are we sleeping on Jokic's 27, 20, and 10?
Does it
we're
so
not.
Often. And at this point, it's like, all right, we got to get back to last night. Storm back, down 20, thanks to Nikola Jokic putting up Wilt numbers again. Jamal Murray hitting the game winner. Was that a good
That enough? Makes me feel
okay.
better.
Okay, still to come on NBA Today. Are we still doing the bing-bong? Or no, is that?
Orange and blue skies,
okay,
baby.
Orange and blue skies. The Knicks, they had an electric finish last night. We're ranking it against the greatest moments in Madison Square Garden history. Plus, would knocking out the Suns make Anthony Edwards the best two guard in the league?
Whoa.
Devin Booker, he might have something to say about that. And, Chinee, I know you got both your phones out, right? Scan the QR code on your screen. Tell us who had the more improbable comeback last night. Was it the Nuggets' 20-point comeback and the buzzer beater, or was it the Knicks? Remember, they were down 5 with 30 seconds to play.
Yes, sis, and I'm locked up, so I only have one phone.
Also, the Cavs won.
Life update.
Yay, Cavs.
Life update.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Woo, we had some madness in Madison Square Garden last night, so let's get ready to rumble! Or something like that. Joel Embiid and the 76ers looking to even the series against Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks. Philadelphia, we're picking this up late. Up 5 in the final 40 seconds of the game. Dante DiVincenzo kicks it out to Jalen Brunson, relocates, elevates for the three.
Confidence.
Boing.
That's how fake. The ball went down. Yeah. Boing.
Joel Embiid has seen too many roles go against his team. What's happening?
So there was a question as to whether or not a jersey was held on this play, but watch Isaiah Hartenstein here. Jersey held or not, if the Philadelphia 76ers had been able to secure the rebound,
that
this
wouldn't
have
happened. Look. You have two guys that are playing with the ultimate confidence, knocking down shots. And then on top of it, it was the hustle. That's the definition of New York basketball. I mean, making extra plays, yes, timeout could have been called, but still, we got a basketball miracle.
Dante DiVincenzo somehow, someway hits the clutch three. Nick Nurse, though, he had some thoughts on trying to call a timeout, and Joel Embiid on the refereeing.
We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese, I called timeout again, then the melee started, and yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention, but I needed a timeout there to advance it, would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Unacceptable, I mean, Tyrese got fouled, you know, a couple of times. You know, we just had the same thing happen against Miami with Tyler Hero. That's just unacceptable to, you know, put us in that situation. You know, that's fucking unacceptable to lose a game like this, especially in the playoffs.
So 13 seconds left, the Knicks up by one. Maxey goes, drives, watch Isaiah Hartenstein comes in with a huge block there, Shanae.
Yeah, this was huge. Tied his playoff career high, and that is the quintessential way that the New York Knicks win. They make hustle plays, they make you believe, they knock down shots, and they play every possession.
They have one more shot. Tyrese Maxey to Joel Embiid, long three, can't quite get it to go. Dante DiVincenzo fired up. It was a vibe for New York.
Can you walk me through how you guys are able to pull that off?
I mean, listen to this. This is what we do. This is who we do it for. That's it. 2-0.
Well, there's been some pretty wild finishes, but that was right up there with the best of them. And that just shows you what the playoffs are all about.
Hearing that reception in the garden, I literally have goosebumps listening to that. And, Perk, you've given us thousands of words over the last 3 years of NBA Today. You've given us thousands of words about the Knicks season. You've given us words that aren't even real words. But right now, I just want one word. What is your word of the day, my friend, for New York?
Dang, Zach, that tickled your fanny.
Huh? That's leave my fanny out of it.
Fancy.
Right,
here it is.
I think it's fancy.
Look, yeah, it's fancy,
usually,
please.
Usually oh, I go French, I may go Spanish. Today, it's just heart, okay? It's heart. It's heart. H-A-R-T. That's Joshua Aaron Hart, okay? We're talking about a guy that was drafted in 2017. Right? To the Utah Jazz, traded to the Lakers, the 30th overall pick. We're talking about a guy that won a national championship in 2016 with Villanova, who has been the best player for the New York Knicks because Jalen Brunson has been struggling. Right now, he's averaging right around 21 points a game. Right now, he's also averaging 14 rebounds a game at 6'4". Josh Hart has been the heart and soul of this team. He's been the motor. He's been picking them up. He's been the sole reason why they've been winning, especially why Big Body Brunson has been struggling.
Yeah.
And I know y'all wanted some type of fancy word today, but damn it, I had to keep it simple. And as simple as that, Hart.
Josh Hart, you know what Josh Hart is? Mm. He's a freaking basketball player. The guy does a little bit of everything, and he does it well. And the one thing he does better than almost anyone in the league who's not Giannis and LeBron is race the ball up the court. And sometimes it looks reckless. Like, Josh Hart, it's a 3-on-4. What are you doing, man? Slow down. But there's value in it. And this was a play from last night. But, like, where is this leading? It's not going to lead anywhere good. Dante DiVincenzo, you got no angle. But what it does is it sucks the entire defense toward the rim. And there's Bogey. This is what you got him for. There's a method to the madness with Josh Hart. And if there's one guy who epitomizes these Knicks, blue collar, in your face, unrelenting, 48 minutes, it's Josh Hart. One of the great under-the-radar trades of the last 10 years in the NBA is Josh Hart for a low first-round pick. He's changed their entire team. Why are you laughing at me? I'm fired up about Josh Hart.
You tickled my fancy when you said that he's a basketball player. I was like, okay.
He does a little bit of everything. He just feels the game.
When I think about Josh Hart, he is the ultimate utility player, but also with skills that matter most.
Yep.
He might be someone that goes and makes 3 out of 10 threes, but those threes, the timing of those, change the tides. Now, when I think about you and saying, you know, there's madness to this Knicks
method
squad,
to the madness,
there's a method to the madness. I'm transported back to a month ago, March Madness. And we'd always say, like, in the playoffs, it's the best version of March Madness because you got to win and you want to try to end series and those types of things. There's March Madness and there's March Misery, right? And this ending felt like it was madness. It was a miracle. It was Melee in the Garden. But it was misery on the Sixers side because what they have done is they've empowered all other players not named Jalen Brunson. You bought Jalen Brunson time to be able to play better. He's shooting 29% in this series so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that made – I know we're talking about DiVincenzo and all these hustles, but the confidence that Jalen Brunson has to shoot that ball when that was his first three of the game and get that friendly roll, there's something different. There's a method to the madness, but it's also a miracle happening in real time in the Garden.
It feels like the story of this series thus far has been the unsung heroes of the New York Knicks versus the two stars of the Philadelphia 76ers. And somehow, some way, the unsung heroes of the New York Knicks right now, they are winning. And we don't see this happen very often at all. The Knicks, right, they're just
winners.
The fourth team to pull out a win like this. Down 5 in the last 30 seconds. Over the last 25 postseasons, you can see it's only happened less than 1% of the time. They're special. Again, the Lakers, 2006. They were down late in the Game 4. Kobe Bryant came up clutch. The Black Mamba, he took over down the stretch, made the game winner in overtime to get the win. And then in 2013, the Heat, they were down in Game 6, and then Ray Allen made the shot.
Wait, we're making these fan bases relive some pain.
But also changed the course of the NBA like the last 10 or so years.
The Heat used that shot to outlaw the Spurs, right? Game 6, and then they won that title in Game 7. And the next, the latest NBA dynasty resided in the Bay Area, right? The Warriors were rolling in 2015. Game 3 against the Pelicans saw the lead late, right? But Steph Curry hits a miraculous shot to force overtime, and the Dubs would win. But the question is, which was the best improbable win last night? Because we had two on one night. How are we supposed to go to bed after this?
How are we supposed to pick between these two?
There's a right answer to this question. One is more improbable.
Okay, Professor.
Oh, that is true.
Well, we care what America has to say.
Get it right, America.
Coming up on NBA Today, do the Lakers still have a fighting chance in this series after taking an 0-2 hole to the Nuggets? And the series shifts back to Los Angeles. You're watching NBA Today.
What was that, Zach?
No!
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He played the supervillain role last night, at least for Lakers fans. His epic buzzer beater over Anthony Davis gave the Nuggets a commanding 2-0 lead in the series. Murray had 20 points. 14 of them came in the fourth quarter when it mattered the most. This was Denver's 10th straight win over the Los Angeles
Lakers.
Yeah. And Murray's shot, it capped off a 20-point comeback run. Denver's largest postseason comeback over the last 25 years. They were previously 0-27 in those scenarios prior to this game, too. As for the Lakers, LeBron James, he was focusing his frustrations on the overturned foul call from the third quarter after the game.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f- do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like.
Okay. So. Well, I actually understand. I did not think that it was the right call to overturn that foul on D'Angelo Russell. But that wasn't the thing that made the Denver Nuggets come back from down 20. This felt to me like the game the Lakers had in their hands, and they let it slip through their grasp. Brian Windhorst, did it feel like this was the last grasp for the Lakers?
I mean, obviously, they played really well. They played 26 of their best minutes of the season, probably the 26 best minutes they played against Denver in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And it didn't lead to a win, and that's very deflating, especially when you could have taken home court advantage. But, I mean, they're fighting the good fight. They are not the better team. The Nuggets are the better team. That's been established very clearly here. We do see upsets with teams that are lesser than rising up, and you need to win a road game. That's still technically on the table, but I'm just going to tell you that in LeBron's career, he's 15-1 in first-round series. He knows exactly what it means to be the best player on the better team, with teams coming in there, not getting it done, and blaming the officials. He has been on the other side of that literally dozens of times. They are fighting against reality. I respect it, but it's reality.
Perk, you FaceTimed me in the middle of all of this last night because you were so adamant that LeBron James... You weren't sure that he was right about this. Can you tell us a little bit more?
I mean, look, it's over with. The Denver Nuggets are going to win at 5. Do I think that they're going to sweep the Lakers? No. I think LeBron James is going to dig deep. But he hasn't faced an opponent like Nikola Jokic. We're talking about arguably the best center to ever play the game of basketball, the most skilled center to play the game of basketball. And when you lose like this, the way that they did last night, being up 20 in game 2, being up 12 in game 1, all of a sudden, and you're watching this starting 5 walk them down like they're at a track meet, it becomes discouraging. So when you walk back into the Crypto.com arena, what are you going to say to a team, or what can you do in the locker room to say, let's get up, we got these guys, when they didn't beat you 10 times straight? They didn't beat you 10 times in a row with no hope. So my thing is, at the end of the day, when I look at them and I look at LeBron, he's giving all he can, AD's giving all he can, but they still have Jokic and they still have Murray. And they still have Aaron Gordon, and they still have Porter, and they still have Caldwell Pope.
It's like
and
Uno, those he guys down break plus up, fours.
Yeah, they're gonna continue to beat the brakes off the Lakers.
Okay, I'm someone that is always glass half full, and if there is one part of that glass that is looking up, it's the fact that in game 1, you had AD and LeBron show up. In game 2, you finally got D'Lo. So it seems like as the games progress, you're getting better play from one more star. But you're still going up against the Denver Nuggets, who don't have to play perfect. And I think what LeBron James is highlighting by calling out the officials is that at any course of the game, you know, you're going to think about these one possession. Basketball is a game of possessions. You can isolate the D'Lo foul, but you can also isolate the LeBron James shot, right? Like, there's certain circumstances that you can be mad about. KCP fell, LeBron shot the ball, and we see it right here. He was on a heater before this.
The closest defender was 14 feet away.
Look, without his prior shots, that miss, like, I'm glad that he took it, right? But at the end of the day, this was the possession. The thing that's wild is that the Denver Nuggets in this game led for 44 seconds. 44 seconds.
44 seconds that mattered.
That's all that mattered. And I think what LeBron James is saying, if we're going to come down to a game winner, we need to do our best on every possession leading up to that. And that's not a theme that is unique to the Lakers. We saw what happened with the Knicks. But in circumstances, there were, you know, we all say the basketball gods. LeBron could have made that shot. AD could have got that stop. There were certain things that just bounced towards the Nuggets down the stretch, the same way things bounced towards the Knicks. And it's just, you got to go on to the next game.
Okay, first of all, it was a foul. Second of all, the Lakers have had the biggest free throw differential in the history of the NBA for the last 2 years running. Third of all, if that's a thing, I think we need to arrange LeBron to have an internship at the Replay Center for like a week in the summer. Let's see how it all works. Get in there, get your hands on it. You try to do it too. And look, the margin for error for the Lakers in this series, the margin for bad luck, the margin for anything is zero.
Yep.
10 times in a row they have lost to this team. They just cannot afford a loss like last night. And they're actually playing pretty well. They forced the Nuggets to adjust.
Yeah.
They hit the Nuggets, and the Nuggets had to change their whole defensive game plan because the Lakers are playing so well. I just don't know what else they're supposed to do. They're outgunned. They made the conference finals last year. That's a successful season. They're just in a bad matchup. The Nuggets are going to win this series, and there's just nothing they can do about it.
I don't know how to put it any more succinctly than that. The crazy thing about last night, though, is that I truly thought that nothing could outdo the finish of the first game that we had between the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. Because remember, Philadelphia led by 5 with less than 40 seconds to go in this game. And then everything went the New York Knicks way down the stretch. They played that tough brand of basketball we've seen all season. Dante DiVincenzo hitting that huge three. Here's what Joel Embiid made of the finish of the game.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Joel Embiid, he looked like a guy who maybe been through just a couple of gut-punching playoff losses in that moment. But he is saying the right things. Shanae, do you think that Philadelphia is headed for another early exit?
You are being so kind, because I walked into watching that game thinking that if Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are questionable and they don't play, this is a wrap. Like, it's a really tough circumstance. They play, and then they combine for, I believe, what, 69 points? They showed up. The problem is, so did the Knicks. And the problem also is, when you have home court advantage, that's where you get the benefit of the doubt. The atmosphere in the Garden was electric. I started off today talking about stargazing with LeBron James. People were stargazing with this finish, maybe the refs included, and that is very frustrating. So Philly, what they showed me is their best players still are giving gargantuan Herculean efforts, and they still fall short, even when Jalen Brunson is able to play his best version of basketball. Now, they are going back home, and we did see good play. I wouldn't write them out, but it just makes it that much harder when the circumstances in which New York won were just like the end of the scouting report, not the start of it.
Right.
I was actually kind of surprised at how positive the 76ers were in their comments after the game, because I thought this was an absolutely devastating loss to have a 5-point lead. By the way, Kyle Lowry missed a free throw with 27 seconds left. That's where it started this. It could have been a 6-point lead, and that's where it started to go bad. I think that's a terribly devastating loss. They seem to have optimism. I don't think it's phony. I think they do. I think it emanates from they like the matchup of Kelly Oubre on Jalen Brunson. That length on him, they seem to think it's going to last. I'm not so sure I believe that. Jalen Brunson has made a career of rising up in the playoffs and overcoming size differential in matchups. I think to be able to not take one of these two games with Jalen Brunson playing off is a big disappointment.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very hard for them to beat the Knicks 4 out of 5. But I was impressed with their demeanor. We'll see if it matters.
One thing I was watching going into this game was how Joel Embiid looked, right? He took that hard fall in game one. He left, came back into the game. Perk, what did you see from him?
Just a warrior, just a warrior. And, you know, when you're watching Joel Embiid right now, the world can see that he's playing on one leg and he's still giving people these 30 pieces.
Facts.
He has mastered the mid-range. He's mastered almost to a certain extent his jump shot at the top of the three-point line. And when I just think about Joel Embiid and his IQ along with his footwork when he catches the ball, I mean, he's one of one, right? When it comes to offensive bigs, I said this time and time again, I look at Kevin Durant, and then Joel Embiid is right under him when it comes to having that versatile package, and he's still playing below the rim. Even if they lose this series, which I believe they will, I think they're going to lose it in six, he has gained so much respect from me and others watching him play the game the way he's playing it on one leg.
Embiid is incredible. He's becoming the tragic hero of the NBA, honestly, with all these playoff injuries and how these gut punch losses unfold. But Perk is right. He doesn't look healthy. And I think some of the offensive rebounds that the Knicks are getting are on him because he's just not moving well. Some of them are just their centers are just getting around him. There's Hartenstein and like Mitchell Robinson did it a couple of times. This is not the kind of offensive rebound that Joel Embiid healthy would normally give up. It's one thing to give up scramble offensive rebounds at random when you're in rotation. This is just big guys outmaneuvering him, a guy who normally outmaneuvers them. And that's kind of why I appreciate the optimism.
Okay.
It's hard for me to see this team with him in this state beating a team as relentless as the Knicks 4-5. And I just want to say two more things. Number one, Tyrese Maxey is a star. He is all about this moment and all about this stage. What he did last night, including three huge buckets down the stretch while playing through an illness, was monster star stuff. And you got to go back to the trade deadline because we're talking about, Sinead talked about how the big two for Philly have shown up and the New York supporting cast is out playing Philly supporting cast. At the trade deadline, Joel Embiid was injured. And they made a big stink in Philly. Not a big stink, but they talked about how they got all these draft picks for James Harden, and they could potentially use them to reload. They ended up mostly standing pat. They made a small deal for Buddy Hield. I don't know if it was Embiid had kind of had them in a holding pattern because they didn't know if he was going to be healthy for the postseason. Maybe they just want to save all their stuff for the summer when they have cap space. But they're kind of paying the price for that. I don't want to call it inaction, but for the decision and or move not made at the trade deadline. Maybe there was no move, but they're paying the price for it now.
Well, Joel Embiid, now the series, it shifts back to Philadelphia. He says that he still believes that they are going to be the team that walks out of this first round. We'll see. It continues on Thursday. But we've been asking all show long, which one was better? I mean, this is like Sophie's choice. Was it Dante DiVincenzo in the finish the New York Knicks had, or was this improbable shot from Jamal Murray? Pull your phone out, scan the QR code.
I really want to know what America says.
We will reveal the results in just 8
minutes. Be right,
minutes.
Please.
At the end of the day, I'll be right back.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I put on this beautiful suit that said, I'm in business.
Like the one you're wearing?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't.
Then why bring it up?
Because they won't leave me alone.
They?
Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!
Guys, I'm not your boss.
Illumination's Despicable Me 4. NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
Yeah, this is the series, the matchup that I wanted to showcase to the world that I'm the best player and the best two guard in the world.
Edwards got a look. Butter. Ant-Man in full effect. And the play.
He's talking some trash to Durant.
Everybody here knows that's my favorite player of all time, so that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life.
Anthony Edwards, he set out a goal right here on this show before the series started to prove that he is the best player in the world. And although maybe that part's up for debate, what's not up for debate is he was the best player on the floor in that game one in Minnesota. Ant went toe-to-toe with his personal GOAT, Kevin Durant. He propelled the Wolves to their second largest win in franchise postseason history. But how exactly is he getting all of that done? Well, that's where Chinne Agumake comes in.
Look, Malika, I heard that Taylor Swift came out with some new music. Yep. I think it's like about tortured poets or something. There's a society. Maybe that's Zach's past life, okay? But Ant Edwards has been torturing and torching. You see what I did there? The Suns, and I'll show you exactly how. Let's start first with his elite footwork. He shot 58% from the field because he gets great looks like this. Going up against another great two-way player in Devin Booker, keeps the foot down, but then he unleashes the step through from his back. So one, he gets to the paint. Two, he's got the midi. Now he's going up against the midi goat, KD. Let's change the angle. Look at this. The contest on this is unreal, but he's just locked in. Locked in so much that not only did he get the step through the paint, now he's in the mid-range, but most importantly, he's a three-level threat. 50% shooting from three. That's supposed to be a hedge. All eyes are on him to knock it down because they know that he's in his bag. Another great contest, and then he is able to not only hit that, but talk his ish and back it up. And I only bring up Taylor because I don't know about you, but I would like to remember and remind everyone that this man is only 22. He's 22. He's played in just 12 playoff games and has scored 30 or more six times already. The only player with more is KG. And now we know to get to that seven mark, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
And tonight. Minnesota. Could be tonight.
Right. And so what on the other side, when you're looking at the Phoenix Suns, how are they going to adjust to everything that Chinne just laid out?
Well, there's not a great adjustment for Anthony Edwards just making jumpers over you. Then you're just prey. But look, big night tonight because in Dallas and Phoenix, we got two teams who are way too all in for this season to go down 0-2. And the Suns, they had 90-something points in the first game. This is where they got to look. The only two weakest spots on the T-Wolves defense are here, Cat on KD and Mike Conley. You can't go at the other three guys. Anthony Edwards, okay, well, I'll try Jaden McDaniels. Okay, that's not going to go great. It's going to take a little while. And now here comes Rudy Gobert, probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. They get an okay shot, although Nurk is not a great finisher. Going at those three guys, it's like trying to bash through three different brick walls. You got to go with the littler guys. Get Monte Morris in the action. Get him moving around. Get him in Devin Booker's orbit. See what happens. See what mistakes occur. And there's Nurk getting free. They just got to be a little more calculated about where they go because you can't direct your off. They have three all-defense level guys in their starting five, and you cannot go at them, even if you're the Suns.
Well, we get game two going down tonight. We also have two other games on the slate. So it's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. So we're going to stick in the West, the Kawhi-less Clippers. At least as far as we know, they host the Mavs across the street. Luka and Kyrie look to avoid going down 0-2. Who you got in this one, Brian?
You know, the Mavs were really good in the second half of this game, and they had the worst half of their season in that first half. Kawhi is questionable, so we'll see. But I like the Mavericks, if Kawhi doesn't play, to continue the momentum that they had in that second half the other night.
Well, I hope everyone set their watch to Dame time because the Bucks are looking to take a 2-0 lead over the Pacers tonight as well. Kendrick Perkins, who you got in this one?
The team I picked to win the series, the guy that I'm betting on that's going to be the best player in the series, Damian Lillard and the Milwaukee Bucks. Did you see Chris Middleton, how money-making Middleton looked last game? He looks fine and dandy. He's going to continue to do him. Bobby Portis. He's going to get the crowd engaged. Still going to be a walking in 20 and 10 guys as a starter. Did you see Lopez, Big Brook Lopez, anchoring the defense, blocking shots, sliding those puppies when need be? I got Milwaukee winning in great fashion.
And there is Kendrick Perkins himself. Who are you guys picking at home? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place any first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. Coming up, where does last night's miracle in Madison Square Garden rank in the top playoff moments in that building ever? We're going to show you the best from the Mecca right after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's presented by the powerful backing of American Express. And in part by the new series, Secrets of the Octopus, now streaming on Hulu and Disney+.
Let's check out Top of the Top, brought to you by PetSmart. And after last night's miracle in MSG, it's only right for us to do best playoff moments ever in the Mecca. I know you're all squinting, but this is Game 7. It's 1970. The Knicks fans didn't know whether or not Willis Reed would even play, but then he dramatically entered the Garden, hit his first two shots to help the Knicks win their first NBA championship. And then, 1991, we have Michael Jordan doing this to Patrick Ewing.
This would have been, if this was 2024, people would have been asking if Jordan was good enough to win a championship today. Back then, everybody just respected the dunk.
Well, the Bulls, they would sweep the Knicks out of the first round on the way to their first title. And then this is the 1993 Eastern Conference Finals. John Starks, who would return the favor, dunking on Horace Grant and Jordan with the left hand.
And Jordan, don't forget that. He caught him with the left hand, leaning.
Well,
he was in the building last night, Malika.
The Bulls got the last laugh. They won the series in six and completed their three-peat. And then, Zach, there's 1995 Reggie Miller.
8 points, 9 seconds. Last night, the Knicks benefited from what maybe was a foul on an inbounds play. But back then, Reggie Miller will say he never fouled anybody. Maybe. Oh, I don't know what that was. I didn't touch him. I'll take a three. One of the craziest sequences in the history of sports, Reggie Miller.
And
take the choke sign. Give me the choke sign.
They won the series in seven as well. All right, then 99. 5 seconds left. The Knicks down three in game three of the 99 finals. This is the conference finals. Larry Johnson completes a four-point.
If we're going to talk about calls, this is a call right here. But to me, it was really the celebrations after. I mean, it was the celebration, the happiness. And then on the other side, I remember seeing the videos of like just the straight up disbelief overall.
Well, there was some disbelief last night too. Dante DiVincenzo kicks it out to Brunson. Brunson for three, can't get it to go. Oh yes, he can. Somehow, some way, the New York Knicks trailing by five in the final 40 seconds come back to win this game. We have been asking all show long, which was better, this comeback by the New York Knicks or the comeback by the reigning champs?
Oh.
53%.
It's close.
Say the New York Knicks, even though it says Nuggets. And 47%.
The Nuggets can't lose.
Nuggets
just can't lose.
You said there was a correct answer.
What's the Knicks one is more impressive. You see every single player fell over on the floor, and then like the 10 different crazy things happened.
5 points in 27 seconds? It's not comparable. Come on. It's the Knicks by a landslide.
See,
come on, guys.
Our viewers of NBA Today are smart basketball
fans.
Very
smart.
They chose correctly. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your afternoon with us. I don't know if tonight's games will be as crazy as last night's, but man, it's going to be fun to see and find out. Hope they tickled your fancy.
Oh, dear.